Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm halfway through my second week of teaching on the believer's authority. And I have a brand new book, study guide, CDs, DVDs out on this. I tell you, this is going to be a powerful series. I've already covered a lot of things. We've had a tremendous response to this, and I know that people are being set free through this. I think that this is an area that there's a lot of abuse in. Either people err on one side to where they don't recognize that there's a spiritual war, that they're fighting demons, and so by default, Satan is winning because they're just fighting things in a human power, not using their spiritual authority. On the other hand, there are a lot of people who've come to realize that there are demons and a spiritual warfare, and they've gone to an extreme to where they actually are giving the devil too much attention, too much credit. I personally have done that. I gave some examples of that already this week about some things that have happened. And, you know, it's a miracle that God ever uses us. It's a miracle that things have worked, but, you know, God just hadn't got anybody perfect to use. And even though I did a lot of things wrong when I first started casting demons out of people, we saw some good things happen. And I know that there are people who are abusing this and too far extreme in this. And all I'm trying to do is bring some balance to this and show you that you need to not be extreme, believing that Satan is on every single thing that happens is a devil, but at the same time, you can't go the other direction and just look at it as only a human cause. There is an enemy, and we've got to fight him. What I want to do today is begin to show you where Satan got his power and authority from. And of course, all power originally comes from God. And most people just assume that Satan used his God-given angelic power to rule man, and that as an angel, he was superior in power and might. There's many examples of how an angel could do things that a man couldn't do. And there's many scriptural examples of this. They have supernatural, superhuman power and authority. And so most people assume that God created Satan. Satan, when he rebelled, retained his supernatural angelic power and authority. What I'm going to do is show you from the Word that Satan lost his power and authority as an angel, and he took mankind's human authority and power. And that's what he's been oppressing people with. And if that be true, which I'm going to show this to you from the Word, well, then that means that all Satan has is a human authority and power. This is why he has to have some physical being cooperate with him to get anything done. And once you understand this, this brings him down to a manageable size that allows you to be able to be bold in your dealings with the devil. You need to estimate your opponent and recognize where his strengths and weaknesses are. And I tell you, these are some major weaknesses in the devil that I think that most people have not seen. So here in Genesis chapter 1, the very first book of the Bible, it says in verse 24, "And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature." In verse 25, God made the beast. And in verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea." This word dominion here is talking about power and authority to use that power. In other words, rule, control. So he says, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them. Now, later, I'll be making a bigger point out of this, but let me just make this point right here, that every time God created something, he spoke it into existence. The way that God released his power and the way that God also released his authority and gave authority to people was by the words that he said. And so it says in verse 28, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And so God said that He had given them all of these, all of this food to eat, etc. Here's my point. All authority, all power, everything comes from God. There was nothing that existed without God. God made the heavens and the earth. He created the angelic beings. God created all of these things. So everything came from God, and all power and authority comes from God. So when God made the heavens and the earth, He created Adam and Eve and specifically said to them, and by these words released His power, "You have dominion. You rule. You subdue. You control this earth." And you know, when Jesus came on the scene, in He quoted from Psalms chapter 82 and verse 6. Let me get over here and find this verse. But people were of course, the scribes and the Pharisees were always after Jesus. And He quoted this scripture when they were criticizing Him for saying He was God, which according to their law was blasphemy, and He possibly could have been taken right then, and yet it wasn't His time. So the way He deflected this criticism, He went back to an Old Testament scripture, and in Psalms chapter 82, verse 6, it says, "I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High, but you shall die like man and fall like one of the princes." Now this was God speaking to the nation of Israel, and He was specifically saying, "I have said, ye are gods." And Jesus quoted this verse, and He said, "If the people to whom the Word of God came were called gods, then how can you criticize Me for saying I am the Son of God?" And anyway, momentarily, this stopped their opposition. But the point is that Jesus referred to this, and the reason I'm bringing this up is to say that when God gave mankind authority over this earth, in a sense, He made man the God of this earth. Not God in the sense of capital G, in the sense that He was almighty or divine or any of those things, but God in the sense that He had absolute control. Here's another scripture that would go along with that is in Psalms 115 and in verse 16 it says, "The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth hath He given to the children of men." Now, this is saying that God, by creation, of course, everything belonged to Him. The universe, everything came from God. He spoke them into existence. Therefore, it all belonged to Him. It was His. He had power and authority over it. But when He created the earth, this verse says that the heaven, even the heavens, talking about the realm beyond the earth, belonged to the Lord. But the earth hath He given to the children of man. When did He do that? When He said, "You have dominion over this earth. You rule. You subdue. You control the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, the animals are on the earth, everything. It is absolutely yours." In a sense, He made man the God, the absolute dictator and ruler over the earth. And here's the reason that I'm pointing this out, and I think it's significant. And that is because in Psalms 89:34, "My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone forth out of My lips." Now remember, when God created the earth, He said, "Let there be light." He said, "The earth bring forth." He said, "You have dominion." When God says something, it's binding to Him. It's a covenant. It's a contract. You know, people aren't like this. We say all kinds of things, and if what we say comes back to haunt us, we just say, "Whoops, I didn't mean it. You don't have it in writing. Doesn't mean anything. Man's word today doesn't mean much." But God, the Scripture says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, that He upholds all things by the word of His power. If God was to ever break His word, well, then the universe would self-destruct, because the word of His power is what is holding everything together. God cannot violate His word. Psalms 138, verse 2 says that He has magnified His word above all of His name. The word of God is even greater than the name of God, the name of Jesus. Every knee is going to have to bow, Psalms chapter 2 says. And yet Psalms 138 says He's magnified His word above His name. God will never break His word. He will never violate it. So here's my point. When God said, "You have dominion, you rule, you subdue, By saying that, he delegated authority to physical human beings over this earth, and God would not take it back. God never intended for us to turn the rule of this earth over to Satan and make Satan the god of this world, but he gave us that much dominion, that much power and authority. That was not the way he wanted us to use it. And again, if God would have been a man, if he would have been like one of us, when he saw everything go contrary to what he wanted, most of us would have just broken in and said, time out, King's X, do over. This is not what I intend. We would have just come in and we would have tried to fix the situation. But see, God bound himself by his word. When he gave man authority over this earth, then that means it was man's. He could give it to whoever he wanted to. He could do whatever he wanted to. And when we chose to obey the devil, Eve was deceived. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, I believe it's around verse 15, somewhere in there, it says, Eve was deceived, but the man was not deceived. And he was the one that was in the transgression. Eve was deceived by the devil, but Adam went into the eating of the fruit with his eyes open, and he was the one that had been given authority and rule over the earth. And because of his love for Eve, he didn't want to be separated. He willfully plunged himself into the corruption that Eve had experienced. He submitted himself to the devil who had authored that temptation and transferred the authority over this earth to Satan. And this is where Satan got his authority and power, was from man. The angelic power that he had as an angel is not what he used to oppress man. He didn't come. In the Garden of Eden, you can turn to the 3rd chapter of the book of Genesis, and you can see that when Satan came against Adam and Eve, he chose the most subtle animal. He didn't choose the strongest animal or the meanest or the most vicious looking. He didn't have a mammoth put his foot on top of Eve's head and say, eat the fruit or I'll squash you. He didn't have a lion come and try and intimidate them with his fangs and all of these kind of things. He chose the most subtle animal, the serpent, because he had no power against Adam and Eve to force them to do anything. All of Satan's power was delegated power from God for the benefit of his people. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, the scripture says, all of the angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who shall be heirs of salvation. Angels are ordained, created by God to minister to those who will be heirs of salvation. Satan was in the garden to serve Adam and Eve. He had no power. All of his angelic power, and I'm going to go into more detail. I won't be able to do it today, but on our programs the rest of this week, I'm going to go into more detail and show you that all of Satan's power as Lucifer, the angelic being that God created, it was only to serve man. It was only for good. He had no power for evil. He couldn't do anything against God. He was there to serve as God's messenger, to serve Adam and Eve. And what he did, he didn't use this superhuman angelic power. He got Adam and Eve to submit to him through deception. Like it says in Ephesians 6, verse 11, that you have to stand against the wiles, the deception, the cunningness, the craftiness of the devil. And it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I fear lest as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds might be beguiled through the simplicity that's in Christ. There is a comparison here. Satan came against Adam and Eve not with force, but rather with lies and deception because he had no force, no power against them. I don't know if you're listening to this, but this just makes me want to jump up and down on the inside. This changed my life to realize that Satan was absolutely powerless. He had to come and deceive. This is the reason that you know the truth and the truth sets you free. Once you know the truth, deception, lies have no power. The only power in deception is that if you don't know, you're being deceived. The moment you know it's deception, all of the power is broken. Satan's only power is the wiles of the devil, the deception of the devil. And once you understand this, that Satan didn't come and overpower Adam and Eve, he had to get them to willingly cooperate with him. And he took authority over this earth, not from God. God didn't give Satan the god of this world and loose him on Adam and Eve as this vicious demonic power down there just to see if Adam and Eve could withstand him. I'm going to explain this more on our program tomorrow. I just hadn't got time to get into it today. But that's not the way it happened. Rather, Lucifer, the anointed cherub that covered, was down here serving mankind. He had no power against mankind. And he came against Adam and Eve and got them to submit unto him. And Adam and Eve gave their authority that God had given them over this earth to the serpent. And see, now God was in a situation where because he cannot violate his word, the whole universe is held together by the power of his word, Hebrews 1:3. If God would have said, well, that's not what I wanted, so I'm taking this authority back, he didn't put that kind of qualification on it. He didn't tell Adam and Eve, now you have authority as long as you do what I want you to do with it. No, he gave them an unconditional authority. No strings attached. No fine print. It was theirs. They could do whatever. He never intended for them to yield to the devil, but they had the authority to do that. And when they did it, God would, listen to what I'm saying, this will shock some of you, but God would have been unjust to come down and just kill the devil, wipe him out, remove him, cast him into a lake of fire, do something with him, and just intervene in the affairs of man, because he had given mankind authority to rule this earth, to do what they wanted to. He didn't play them like a puppet on a string where he pulled the strings and made them do things. He gave us freedom of choice, and we chose to give this authority to the devil. So, even though it was not God's intent, even though it was a lie on the devil's part, even though there was some things going on, you know what? God would have been unjust to break his word and come down and just fix things. And so, this is why God didn't just wipe the devil out, take him out, and come and redeem man immediately. It took a long period of time for God to intervene. And you know why? Because he had given authority over this earth to physical human beings. And according to John chapter 4, verse 24, God is a spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God didn't have a physical body. God was a spirit, and he gave authority over this earth to people with physical bodies. Since God didn't have a physical body, God did not have authority over this earth to really intervene. The only way he could intervene was as a spirit. He would speak to the spirit part of man and impress us and draw us. And to the degree that people would submit to God, God could flow through them and bring some godliness and righteousness back into the earth. But he was dependent upon going through people. And the problem was that no one person was completely submitted to God. You know, there's actually a passage of Scripture. I'm sorry, I don't know where this is right now, but hopefully my television crew can find this and put it on the screen. But the Lord was speaking, and he said, I sought for a man and wondered that there was no one to stand in the gap. And then he goes on and says, wherefore my own arm brought deliverance. You know what that's doing is saying that God wanted to intervene. He wanted to fix this problem that man had created by yielding the authority over this earth to the devil. But he couldn't do it because he was a spirit. And so he sought for some man who would yield and let God's power flow through him. And he sought, but there was no person. All of us were corrupted by our own sin. All of us were separated from God. We were dead in trespasses and sin. So God became a man. This is why God had to become Jesus. It's why Jesus had to become a physical man. And Jesus even said this over in the 5th chapter of the book of John. I'll turn to this later and we'll study it in more detail. But he said that God, the Father, had given him authority to execute judgment also because I am the Son of Man. This term Son of Man, every time you see it, is referring to the humanity side of Jesus, the physical body. The term Son of God refers to his divinity. Jesus was God in the flesh. Son of God refers to his divinity. Son of man refers to his humanity. So he says, this is the reason I have authority to execute judgment, is because of this physical body. When God became a man, now the devil was in big trouble. Because, see, Satan had been having free reign because physical human beings who had authority over this earth had willfully submitted that authority to him. And so he was reigning, in a sense, by right. It wasn't ever God's intention, but mankind gave him that power and authority, and God would have been unjust to just pull it back and violate his word and his promise to man. He said, you can do with it what you want to. Man gave it to the devil. So Satan was able to operate, and God could not really intervene because he was a spirit. And man was willfully yielded and submitted to the devil. But when God became a man, now the devil was in big trouble. Because now God wasn't just a spirit. God had become a man. And now God had authority in this physical earth. And man, Jesus took it to the devil. And of course, there was this opposition. Satan thought he had won when he killed Jesus and took him to the grave. And yet that was the way that God gained entrance into the bowels of hell. And he just destroyed Satan and resurrected him. And he came out with the keys of death and of hell. And after Jesus' resurrection, he says, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Remember that scripture in Psalms 115, verse 16, where it says, the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the Son of Man. Prior to the time of Jesus, God had authority in the heavens, but not in the earth. He had given that authority to man. But when Jesus became a man and he died and rose from the dead, he now had all authority in heaven and in earth and even under the earth, in hell. He now had the authority over hell. Jesus bought back all of this authority. I tell you, the things that I've said right here today, I know that this is a lot. It took me decades to glean some of these things and get it all worked out. And I'm going to be saying this over and over. We got a lot more to share about this, but this is really powerful. If you understand this, this answered so many questions for me. It answered questions about why did God have to become a man? Why did God wait about 4,000 years after the fall of Adam and Eve before he sent Jesus to this earth? I didn't answer that specifically, but I gave the basis for that. We'll be explaining that more. And if you understand this, it just answers a lot of questions, and it shows you the authority that God placed in mankind and the authority that we now have back through Jesus. God observes this chain of command. Satan observes it. It does exist, and you need to understand it. And that's what we're talking about, is the believer's authority. And I tell you, this is really going to help you. Now, we're out of time today, but we do have these materials. I've got this tape that we're offering today, or the teaching on CD, is entitled, Who Made Satan? And we'll get into this tomorrow. I think it's really going to bless you. So listen as our announcer gives you that information. Call or write today and join me again tomorrow for the Gospel Truth.
The Believer's Authority is available for the very first time in book form and can be ordered through bookstores nationwide. Or you can receive a copy when you send a gift of any amount for the work of this ministry. Request book T327 when you write or call or when you go to our website. A Spanish version is also available. Request book T735. The Believer's Authority Companion Study Guide is available for a gift of $35 or more. Request study guide T427 when you contact the ministry. Andrew's complete teaching titled The Believer's Authority was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on DVD for a gift of any amount. Request DVD album T3205D when you contact us. You can also get Andrew's teaching as seen on TV. It's available on either CD or DVD when you send a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1045C or DVD album T1045D when you contact us. The second teaching in the audio CD album titled, Who Made Satan? Is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this second CD free of charge. Request teaching number TL19 when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Or you can reach us through our website, where you can order ministry materials online at awmi.net. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We appreciate your generosity. We hope to hear from you today.
You know, I'd like to encourage you to check out our Charis Bible Colleges. We have so much. Of course, the things that I'm sharing here on television, I know that many of you are saying, I've never heard this before. Well, there's a lot in the Word of God that most Christians have never heard. And that's why we started our Charis Bible Colleges, is to help educate people. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And I'd like to encourage you to please check it out. We have not only the campus here in Colorado Springs, but we have 12 Bible colleges scattered throughout the world. We've got them all over the world. And we've got more coming online. We've got a distance learning program, a correspondence course, many ways you can take advantage of it. So we have a number on your screen. I encourage you to call and check out our Charis Bible Colleges today.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. He'll be in Merritt Island, Florida, April 19th through the 22nd, and Chicago, Illinois, for a Gospel Truth Seminar, May 7th through the 9th. He'll also be in Amsterdam for the Eurospirit Conference, May 21st through the 23rd, Raleigh, North Carolina, for a Gospel Truth Seminar, June 11th through the 13th, and in Colorado Springs for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference, June 29th through July 3rd. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
If you just know what God told you to do, then it's not a challenge, it's an adventure.
I wasn't ready to make a commitment until I really knew that this was God.
So we decided that, okay, from this point on, we're not going to speak to each other, we're not going to write, we're not going to be in contact.
I gave up marriage and I thought, all right, that's it.
I need to read the Bible. I need to find out what it says. I need to find out who God is.
We could be dropped from a helicopter anywhere on the subcontinent of India, and somehow God was going to direct us.
God has given us a plan, and we're seeing people change forever. And it's not just surface, it is in their spirit.